Next week, former Vice President Al Gore's Climate Reality Project will broadcast a 24-hour streaming video special calling attention to the public health impacts of climate change around the world. In the decades since Gore started sounding the alarm about man-made global warming, global greenhouse gas emissions have continued to grow despite warnings from reports like last week's National Climate Assessment. Well, Al Gore joins us now from New York. Vice President Gore, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy. It's my pleasure.
So this is going to be the 8th annual 24 Hours of Reality broadcast. Do you feel like, as a planet, we've made a lot of progress since you started doing this 8 years ago, or are we basically in the same position, or worse?
Well, we have made a lot of progress. One has to add, unfortunately, that the climate crisis is still worsening at a faster rate than our progress in developing solutions. But we're gaining momentum, and as the late economist Rudy Dornbusch once said, things take longer to happen than you think they will, and then they happen faster than you thought they could. And we're seeing exponential change now in renewable electricity generation, electric vehicles, and what we really need is are changes in policy to accelerate these positive developments that have begun.
So then how big of a problem is it that the president of the United States says that he is not a believer in man-made global warming?
Well, it's certainly a problem when he tries to dismantle the Clean Power Plan and the auto mileage improvements and eliminates the study of particulate pollution, which is a deadly health threat connected to the pollution that is generated along with global warming pollution. And it's a problem when he says to the rest of the world he wants the U.S. to pull out of the Paris Agreement. But there is another dynamic underway. Donald J. Trump is now the face of climate denial. His is the voice of climate denial. And for the minority in the country that still invests their hopes and faith and trust in Donald Trump, they're not likely to be a part of the solution to the climate crisis for some time yet anyway. But for the two-thirds and more who are signaling that they have had enough of Donald Trump, I think it is making it easier for people who associate him with the nonsensical views that he articulates to re-examine the facts and to say, as some conservative columnists have done recently, whoa, wait a minute, we've taken another look at this climate crisis, and it's an existential threat. We've got to do something about it. So I'm hopeful that the Trump years will be over sooner rather than later, at the very least that he will not have a second term, and that the groundwork will have been laid for a dramatic improvement in our policies to accelerate progress.
But if it's really, as you say, two-thirds of people who think that they want, you know, real solutions to climate change, you don't see any politicians really running on that issue and saying, let's, you know, vote for me if you want to get back into the Paris Climate Agreement.
Well, actually, we did see quite a few in this recent election 10 days ago. A number of the newly elected Democratic members of the House of Representatives said exactly that, and several of the newly elected governors did as well. Of course, California has led the way, along with Washington and Oregon and New York and others, but Colorado now has a new governor who has made that the climate issue one of the centerpieces of his campaign. He's joining California in saying Colorado will go carbon neutral by mid-century. And, you know, California, were it a nation, would be the fifth largest economy in the world, and they've just now passed legislation requiring California to be zero carbon by 2045. Colorado and some other places are doing plan to do better than that by 2040. So we are seeing some significant changes. And at the municipal and local level, the changes are, if anything, more dramatic.
What about, though, in the state that you're from, Tennessee? where there was a move further to the right. And I don't think you would go to Marsha Blackburn, the newly elected senator from Tennessee, to ask her to help you with solutions to climate change right now.
No, certainly not. But even though a Republican won the race for governor, he is a reasonable person, and I don't rule out the chances for progress in Tennessee. But many of the southern states have been more difficult to change. There's no doubt about that. But look at what almost happened in Texas with Beto O'Rourke, who's excellent on the issue and almost won that race. Look at Doug Jones in Alabama, who's great on the climate issue. And Stacey Abrams, who came within hair's width of winning in Georgia, and the Democratic candidate in Florida, Andrew Gillum, same thing, great on climate, and almost won. So you're seeing progress even in many southern states.
So it sounds like you're pretty optimistic. You think things are moving in the right direction. Maybe people haven't moved quite where you want them to be yet, but they're getting there.
Well, let me be clear. I began by saying the problem is getting worse at a rate faster than we're making progress on the solutions. But we're gaining momentum, and we're getting closer and closer to one of these political tipping points where public opinion changes significantly. We saw that in the civil rights movement earlier, the women's suffrage movement in recent years, in the fight for gay and lesbian rights. And when these moral issues are revealed to be a binary choice between what's right and what's wrong, public opinion can shift pretty quickly. And in this case, Mother Nature is speaking up pretty powerfully with the tragic fires in California, mm-hmm. not only the ones earlier late in November, but also earlier in the year, Hurricane Florence in the Carolinas, Hurricane Michael a year ago, Hurricane Harvey. The list of catastrophes that are clearly linked to climate and linked to climate in the minds of the public are persuading more people than any of us who are advocates for solving the climate crisis could hope to do.
You said just now that you hope that President Trump does not get reelected. No surprise there. But do you see anybody right now who you think could beat him in 2020?
Well, the experiment with Trumpism is not going very well in the minds of most people. And, you know, in science and medicine, some experiments are terminated early for ethical reasons. And I don't know that will happen with Donald Trump. But I do think that the blue wave that gained almost probably 40 seats for the Democrats a week ago Tuesday is a very hopeful sign. And Donald Trump's numbers have deteriorated. And as for Democratic challengers, I'm not very good on the horse race predictions. I think that it's probably still too early to try to pick out winners and losers in that competition.
What did you think when you saw that there was another recount in Florida this year?
Well, how do you spell PTSD, boys and girls? I got lots of emails and phone calls from close friends in Florida who certainly told me that it was not a happy experience to go through. And more seriously, it is truly astonishing that after 18 years, they have not been able to come up with a system that is more reliable and more honest. And it also should be shocking to all of us as Americans that voter suppression is still being pursued relentlessly by Republican operatives and office holders like the former Secretary of State of Georgia. And in Mississippi and in many places. That's just un-American, and it's time for that to stop. On the positive side, I will say that there were some voter-approved initiatives to deal with the gerrymandering problem and to have fairer and more equitable ways to draw the lines of congressional districts, and we saw the dramatic results of an early change in that process in Pennsylvania this year.
Al Gore, if it weren't for the Supreme Court of the United States, you might have been the president of the United States. I just wonder what your thoughts were on what we saw this year, or what do you think of the Supreme Court right now? It's moved further to the right.
Yes, but I certainly agree with the Chief Justice in his pushback against Donald Trump when he said we cannot allow ourselves as Americans to define judges as Republican judges or Democratic judges. The rule of law is the bedrock of all of our liberties in the U.S., and we have to maintain respect for the judiciary and for the rule of law.
That's former Vice President Al Gore, whose Climate Reality Project broadcasts its 24 hours of reality program Monday on TV stations around the world and online at 24hoursofreality.org. We'll have a link at hereandnow.org. Vice President Gore, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.